the few items currently up for grabs in Appleton free of charge. A bowling ball, shoes, and carrying bag, a big box full of individual Mandarin Orange snack cups, or there are several choices in electric organs. If you're in southern Wisconsin, someone's looking for a home for their 32-year-old collection of model railroader magazines. Someone else is offering up their mobile cat-scratching unit, which is actually just a pretty destroyed office chair. All that and more could be yours thanks to the power of Craigslist. For 25 years, Craigslist has been the internet's classified ad section, helping people buy and sell cars, find furniture after moving, sell their handmade items, or find a job. And unlike many of the sites or places we spend time on the internet, not much has changed in its look or its use. Jessa Lingle is an assistant professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. She studies digital culture, looking for the ways that relationships to technology can show us gaps in power or possibilities for social change. Her new book is called An Internet for the People, The Politics and Promise of Craigslist. Jessa, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first, I imagine if you wrote a book on Craigslist, you might have used it a time or two. How have your personal experiences influenced you writing this book?
Yeah, in my family, I'm definitely known as the person who will buy or sell anything on Craigslist. So a lot of my furniture, my bike, my cell phone, I even have a ficus tree that I got on Craigslist. And it's been in many different cities that I've lived. And I've always had really positive experiences. And the main thing that happened when I wrote the book is just I learned so much more about this platform that I had always sort of enjoyed using and meeting different people and seeing different parts of the cities where I've lived. And now I just really know so much more about its history and its backstory and its politics.
Going back to the mid-1990s, a lot has changed since then on the internet. The big sites, a lot of them have fallen. Others have changed a lot over the times. And then there's Craigslist. It's been around all this time, and people say it hasn't really changed that much in terms of how it looks. What accounts for its staying power?
Yeah, it hasn't changed very much in terms of how it looks. If you can't really play that sort of game about how websites transform over time with Craigslist, because it really looks the same now as it did in like 2008. And the main reason for that is that it also hasn't changed in terms of its leadership. So there is a Craig behind Craigslist, Craig Newmark. He's still, you know, fairly involved in the company. And then they've had the same CEO, Jim Buckmaster, since 1999. And the two of them just really believe in this early 1990s web ethic of, you know, don't fix something that's not broken, keep it simple, keep it working. So they're just really committed to keeping the website how it is.
For people, a lot of people have used Craigslist, Jessa, but for those who haven't, how do you describe it?
It is, it's all the simplicity of the classified section of a newspaper that is just online and free to use. So if you ever wrote an old school, you know, classified ad in a newspaper, you had to be very careful about the number of characters that you used, and you had to usually pay amount of money. And then for Craigslist, most ads are free, and you could make those ads as descriptive as you wanted, for better or worse.
And as you write, not everyone knows exactly what they're using when they use Craigslist. Some people think it's a local thing or it's a nonprofit thing. This is actually a money-making joint, right?
Absolutely. So it's the most successful platform in any medium at any point in history for classified ads. And we don't know exactly how much it makes because it's privately held. But, you know, estimates run up as much as $1 billion or $2 billion. And it pulls in, you know, a bunch of money every year. And it's a very well-visited site. So Craigslist gets more monthly visitors than the New York Times or ESPN.com. So it's incredibly popular and very much profitable.
There are big concerns about a lot of the big sites, the Facebooks of the world, for example, and what they're doing with our data. Are there similar concerns with something like Craigslist?
So not really, partly because on Craigslist, you're anonymous by default. So when you put up an ad, you could certainly say, this is my name and here's my phone number, or you can not say that and you don't really have to share any details about yourself that you don't want to. So there's a lot that Craigslist doesn't know about you simply because it doesn't ask information about you. And then on top of that, Craigslist does not sell data to third parties. So it's not gathering data in order to help marketers sell targeted ads or anything like that. It makes all its money from a small number of ads that they charge for, which are mostly job ads and real estate ads in certain cities. So It's a very different business model than companies that really feel free when you're using them, but actually that's because the product is you.
Jessa Lingle is with us. Her book is called An Internet for the People, The Politics and Promise of Craigslist. Beyond just looking at the specifics of how Craigslist work, Jessa, you use it as kind of a model for a different way of thinking about the internet than we do nowadays. What do you think we could learn from a site like this about how it interacts with its users?
So I think for one thing, we can realize that you don't have to turn users into data in order to make a profit, that you can actually respect users' privacy and still find ways to make money as a website. So if company doesn't really have to choose between being a nonprofit and respecting privacy. They can actually have their cake and eat it too in that sense. So that's one thing. And then another thing is you really don't have to change your platform all the time. So in Silicon Valley, there's this sort of mantra of you got to move fast and break things. You can't get left behind. You got to constantly change your appearance. You got to have new features. And Craigslist just has never bought that. And instead, they say, like, we're going to keep the same appearance. We're not really going to change our features too much. And they've done quite well for themselves.
Now, not everything has been rosy over the years. There was controversy over the personals section of Craigslist, concerns that it was being used for prostitution and possibly for sex trafficking. Can you talk about that chapter in the Craigslist history?
Sure, it's a long chapter. So Craigslist got its start in San Francisco, which is why it's always had this sort of liberal politics around, you know, sex and around identity. And so it has always supported sex workers sort of quite actively on that platform. And that really started to change in 2009. There was a high profile series of crimes that were connected to Craigslist, and a bunch of state attorneys general across the country sort of went on the warpath. And over time, Craigslist has sort of changed its policies, made it harder and harder for sex workers to use the platform. And then that all came to an end in 2018 when Congress passed a law called FOSTA, which holds platforms accountable for sex trafficking. And there's just no way to make sure that an anonymous ad about, you know, adult services is a genuine ad of someone who wants to do that versus someone who's trafficked. I think the thing to know is, like, Craigslist has definitely had its battles on this topic, but so have other platforms. So everything from Facebook to Backpages.com, even platforms like LinkedIn have been connected to human trafficking. So it's a much bigger problem than any one platform.
Now, on a maybe less serious note, one of the benefits of Craigslist is that it allows you to, you know, interact directly with randomly selected people from your area and around the state. One of the downsides is you're interacting with randomly selected people. What are some of the difficulties, mild up to serious, that people encounter because they're just meeting random people on Craigslist?
Yeah, I mean, so it can be kind of delightful. I literally bought a phone last night on Craigslist and in my neighborhood, and I knocked on the door, and then you know, I live in South Philadelphia, and then it turned out they had converted their coffee table into like a rabbit hutch. So there were like these rabbits in the apartment. It was just like completely unexpected. I had no idea that was going on in my neighborhood. So that kind of thing is, you know, fun and a little bit quirky, but it's, you also have to be smart. You know, I went with my dog. You know, you have to take precautions to sort of feel safe and make sure that you're acting safely. At the same time, I want to point out, like, for a lot of people I spoke with, a lot of people who are poor or live in poor neighborhoods, a lot of people of color, they talked about Craigslist and its policies around anonymity being a form of privacy that they really appreciated. So you can't really discriminate against someone on Craigslist because you don't know their name, you don't know anything about them. You can sort of make sure that this way your neighbors don't know that you're selling a TV or selling something expensive. So a lot of people see the downsides of Craigslist, but for another group of people, for people who are have different privacy concerns, the platform also provides a form of safety.
In our last few moments, Jessa, you do see some good in the model that Craigslist uses. Is it an anomaly, though, or do you see these lessons being taken and used elsewhere?
Yeah, I don't want the whole internet to look like Craigslist. Like, that's not my dream for the web, but I do think there's important lessons that we can learn. And so I do think that there are other companies that have really learned, you know, how to cooperate more with law enforcement, how to think differently about user privacy. Craigslist and eBay have had a very fraught relationship, but I also think they've learned from each other about how to treat users and how to manage scams. So I do think that Craigslist isn't just a quirky corner of the internet. It's also a really important testament to how the internet feels like it changes all the time, but can actually stay the same too.
Jessa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Jessa Lingle, an assistant professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Her new book is called An Internet for the People, The Politics and Promise of Craigslist.